Hey there, and welcome to the Dynamics Hot Dish Podcast, serving up stories and knowledge on Dynamics 365 and the Power Platform. This is What's Hot in Dynamics. You're now joining Merlin Schweiger, Liz McGlennon, and Ashley Steiner.
My mildly entertaining, it's only mildly entertaining, child-related story. So my son, who is soon to be three, is very much like in the why stage right now. Like everything is why. Why, daddy? Why you put new wheels on your car, daddy? So I, like not that long ago, because it was starting to get colder, I put the winter wheels on the car. And he noticed that they were different. Why? So I had to explain to him, well, this is so I can drive safely in the snow. And then like a week or so later, he's asking again, why? But at this point, there was actually some snow. I was like, well, you see the snow? I have to drive safely in the snow. Fine, great, wonderful. Like 2 days after that, he looks out the window and he sees that all the snow has melted overnight. And he comes running through the house. Daddy, the snow is gone. You need to put summer wheels back on car. Like, no, it's not quite how it works, dude. There's going to be more snow coming. Don't worry. But he was like very concerned and really wanted me to know that, like, okay, the snow is gone now. Like, it's time for you to put the other wheels back on your car again.
I think the biggest thing I'm taking away from this is you put on different tires in the winter. And is that normal? And something that, okay. I've never.
So changed. Don't judge this by Liz, like I never upgrade my software over there. So
I also can't take care of my car at all.
Right. I imagine that left to her own devices, her car would still be running with the factory original oil. But
I know better than that.
Snow tires are very useful in colder and snowy climates because they are grippier when it gets cold out. So even if you're not driving in the snow that much, I don't know how much you know about tires. It's actually pretty useful information. So like summer tires.
Because I just got new tires this year. So I've actually learned quite a bit. And I paid more for like the ones that are good in both seasons. Like I paid more money to get like all weather.
And then like if you have your winter ones on for just part of the year, like you wear them out slower versus like you got like hybrid ones and you're like constantly wearing those out. But like those are more expensive than like summer tires, right?
Not necessarily. Actually, good like performance summer tires are going to be more expensive than all seasons. The problem with all seasons is that they're like, so the real issue is the rubber gets harder as it gets colder, right? And so like the summer tires are made to run in hot weather so that they stay like kind of grippy in hot weather. But then as it gets cold, like they get like rock solid. Like my summer tires are like plastic casters when it's like 30 degrees outside. So they're essentially useless for driving when it's cold out. All seasons try to like bridge the gap, but really all that means is they don't do either one that well. Like they're not that good if it's really hot out, and they're not that good if it's really cold out, but they do pretty well in the middle.
Why does that matter though? Like if you're just driving around town and like not doing anything special with your vehicle.
Yeah, I'm not like doing burnouts like in the
snow. Right. Downtown. You're not like drag racing. Like
you don't have to be drag racing, but as it gets colder, the rubber gets harder. The harder the rubber, the less grip it has. The less grip that it has, the more that means you're going to slide if you try to stop suddenly or if you try to turn suddenly. Summer, like winter tires also do an amazing job in snow of being extra grippy. Like I'm not kidding when I say that my stopping power in snow on the winter wheels is about equivalent to like all season tires in rain. Like it's amazing the difference that a good winter wheel makes when you're driving in snow versus an all season tire.
Ashley, have you ever gotten into a car accident in the winter that was like caused by the snow, like the weather?
So I got rear-ended. I was 16 and somebody rear-ended me on the freeway and they claimed it was because they hit black ice. I just don't think that they saw me slow down.
But was that your fault?
No, it was somebody else's fault.
Okay, so let me clarify an accident that was your fault.
In the winter.
Okay, then why does it matter?
Anyway.
I feel like you're just being lectured by your dad because I feel like that's something my dad would have said to me.
You don't want to bring up car topics around Merlin. Like he'll get on a soapbox and like rant about it.
all I have to say is my tires were like 5.5 years old, and they were the ones that came with the car. I bought it brand new, like 16 miles on it. And I noticed a huge difference in these apparently not as good tires, according to Merlin, and what they were before. So I would just like to say I'm a big fan of my new tires, and thank you to Costco, even though they're not up to Merlin standards.
Well, if they were that old, I'm not surprised you noticed a difference with new ones.
Yes, yeah, so I'm very excited to drive them in my first winter to see if I don't slide like this all over the country roads.
Yeah, I got new tires like a year or two ago, and it was a huge improvement for the winter, definitely. Merlin's not impressed.
Are we able to move on yet?
Do you have anything else you want, knowledge you want to share about tires?
I feel like this is such a topic for you, Merlin, and you're like upset that we're interested in it.
No, he's upset that I like made fun of him about it.
Upset that you're not. You're not interested in it enough. And now I feel like the more that you talk about it, you're just making fun of me.
Well, what else is new? How is that different than normal?
It is not. Are we able to move on yet?
I'm sorry, Marilyn. Yeah, we can move on.
I don't think that you are. Today, we're going to talk about Dynamics 365 marketing. And Ashley is going to lecture us the whole time on what marketing is about, which sounds awesome.
Wow, I feel like there's a lot of we need to resolve
this. Got really snarky there.
Like, yeah, someone's a little sassy today. Yeah, so we're gonna talk about marketing. We're gonna move away from tires, unless you're marketing about tires. Yeah, and just talking about Dynamics 365 marketing and the options that it gives you. And so I guess the first question I have for you guys is, have you ever worked with the marketing app? Is it the marketing app anymore? I don't really know what to call it. Have you worked with marketing?
I think you call it the marketing app.
I've not worked with a new one in a real life deployment. I've only played with the new one. I did work with MDM, which is a completely different topic that we don't want to talk about.
We're not going down that rabbit hole.
Oh my gosh. I know. It's that is interesting though. Like the journey of like, we talked about this, like with field service and things like that, right? Like the journey that Microsoft has taken to get to where they are. And obviously it's been quite a journey with the marketing. MDM was a bit of a disaster. I think Microsoft will even admit that.
It's true. I also have not really used the marketing module that much.
Yeah. So, I mean, I guess I can just start talking through like the main features and things that are like valuable in it. I'll say, so I have not played with it in like a real life sense in 2 years, 2.5 years, maybe. Sure. And it has changed so much because I've tried to stay really like up to date with like the changes that are happening and the things that are going on. You know, they're making like tons of advancements on it. So I've tried to stay up to date, but like, I don't have a lot of like real life use cases for a lot of them. What I will say is that it really makes sense to use it at least 2 years ago, if you wanted the event management part of it. If all you were looking for was a marketing automation to send emails, do like campaigns, things like that, it wasn't necessarily at the top of its game. The event portion of the tool is really what sells it.
I can see that. I think it's improved a lot though over the last few years too.
Yeah, absolutely. I would say the biggest downside is that you can only email contacts. So if you want
to email, they still haven't fixed that.
As far as the research that I've done, I can't see that they have. You still cannot like email a
leads,
which means that, so again, I could be completely wrong, but because again, I don't have any use cases in the last 2 years, but that was the biggest downside, I'd say. And I have not seen that they've resolved that.
Okay. That is so interesting to me. Like, why do you think they're not adding in that functionality?
My supposition is that Microsoft is trying to build the marketing tool to be more for marketing to and engaging with your current customer base and less so on the just like blast lead gen stuff, right? So that's just my opinion, but I think this ties into the marketing or the event management stuff being good, because for the most part, you're going to be inviting your own customers to events, not random people off the street. I think it ties into not marketing to leads at all, because you're focused mostly on contacts that you already know. I think it's supported by kind of the customer journey stuff that they built in there. So you can like walk somebody through something. So I think that they're focused more on, you have this list of people that you're trying to either re-engage or maintain a connection with, less, more so than the, you're just, you know, blasting stuff out to a list of trade show leads and seeing what comes back.
Well, and you could have contacts in your system that aren't customers. Like, you could very well have a prospect account with prospect contacts. Like, that's not unheard of. It's just not, you know, kind of the traditional way of using CE.
Right.
Yeah, because I think that you could also, like you said, like, you could have prospects, right? They maybe you have a qualified lead, and then that's right. when you would want to start engaging with
right.
them.
Right, like contacts tied to an opportunity kind of thing. Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I will say, I support, like, I think that, like, what they're doing with the tool and, like, the advancements that they're making only fully support what Marlin said, because even the real-time marketing that I think is, like, probably the biggest advancement it's made in the last 2 years, where you can sync it up with customer insights and get data from all sorts of different, you know, applications that you have at your company, whether that be ERP, you know, that they're registering, they're hitting your website, whatever. You can bring all this into customer insights, and then you can do real-time marketing to people as they're engaging with you. So whether you have a phone call or they're hitting your website, you can, like, send them a text or, you know, things like that. So obviously you wouldn't know who the people are if they're, like, random people off the street just hitting, like, your website or coming across, like, a landing page or something. So I agree with you, Marlin. I don't know if that's necessarily, like, the tactic everybody wants, because it almost seems like then you'd have to have a separate email tool just to email your leads. And then, unless you created them all as contacts, which is,
you're not just going to email them out of, like, sales. See,
you could do that, Liz, right? You could use your little, like, insights and see if people open them and stuff. Like, I mean, so it's a viable option. Is it the best option? Probably not. But so at least with the advancements I've seen with it, Marlin, I could agree with you, but I'm not sure that's the solution everyone's looking for.
Ashley, what excites you the most about, like, the real-time marketing functionality?
I would say, so the thing that excites me the most is probably the weirdest thing. It's that it integrates multiple Microsoft solutions together. So, like, you're using customer insights to drive your marketing. You're not just keeping these silos of, like, sales, service, marketing, and you know, it bridges that gap of bringing multiple things together. So I think it's, because I think everyone kind of said when customer insights came out, like, cool, what's the point? What's the purpose? I'll say I did. I think that Microsoft is now capitalizing on it and saying, well, this was the vision of customer insights, and we're giving you the tools to actually use the data and do cool things with it. So I think that the fascination, or, like, what I like about it so much, has more to do with the customer insight side than the marketing, but it's that you can tie those things together.
That's a really good point. Does that mean then, like, does that diminish the value of marketing if you don't use customer insights? Because customer insights is an additional, I'll call it an implementation, even though it's not actually that long, but it is a different license. It's extra cost.
Right.
Well, that would depend on what you're using marketing for, right?
Yes. I think that completely depends on your marketing strategy, because you have real-time marketing or you have outbound marketing. And so it just depends on if that real-time marketing is part of your strategy. There's a lot, I mean, that's also a newer concept of marketing. The outbound marketing is the traditional, like, landing pages, Google AdWords, tracking who's on your website, and it's all just combined in this one tool. But customer, you know, now with the, like, invention of customer insights, it gives you, like, a different marketing strategy. So I don't know. So I think it depends on if you're using that internally.
So since we're talking about insights, I know this is not supposed to be a conversation about insights, but it's marketing related. So I'm going to bring it up, and you guys can tell me that it's not the right time to talk about it if it's not. But I've heard that with insights, you can connect your Google Analytics in to the marketing app. And that's obviously something that we've been talking about for a long time, because, like, CRM traditionally kind of starts part of the way through the marketing journey. And there's all this kind of upfront work that happens before they're, like, an identified contact or lead in your system. So have either of you looked at that or seen that, like, bringing your GA data into Dynamics?
Oh, this is so not the time to talk about such things, Liz.
I don't know. I think it's exciting and I just haven't done it. So like, I'm curious to hear your thoughts if you've
Yeah. So all I know about it is exactly what you just said, that it can be done now. I have not used it at all. But I think that it kind of bridges that gap of the ROI too. Mm-hmm. I know that people always say like, how do you know that marketing is actually bringing value to the company? I think other than IT, marketing probably has the most difficult job of proving their ROI to the company. And so I think that that helps bridge it. Like, okay, cool. I'm going to bring in all these leads that we're getting from Google AdWords, analytics, all this stuff in, and then following that person all the way through the sales cycle. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's kind of the dream of marketing. Mm-hmm.
And you're tying it all together. Yeah.
And if they're falling off at some certain point, you can start to make changes, right?
Right.
So that can change in your outbound marketing. You can really do a lot of analysis on how you should change your interaction with prospects and customers.
Yeah. And I feel like that ties into the customer journey stuff, right? So like, I want to bring somebody through this journey, and depending on the actions that they take, if they take any actions, then I want to branch them this way or that way. And I feel like that, like defining what you want that journey to be and then running everybody through it will kind of help get to that data point, Ashley, that you just mentioned of like, well, where are people falling out? Like, where are we losing people? You know, oh, they got this email and they clicked on something, and they got this email and they clicked on something, and then they got this thing and they never ever clicked on anything ever again. Like, what's wrong with that third thing that we just sent them? Like, maybe we need to reevaluate that.
But what's cool about the real-time marketing, because like Merlin, what you just described, I would call like the one-dimensional customer journey, whatever you want to call it, the flow that you put customers on. I mean, that's been around for, I mean, I remember setting those up 10 years ago in Pardot, right? Which is now part of Salesforce. But what the real-time marketing does is it allows you in that flow to say, if at any time, if they hit our website, put them on a different track, now it's two-dimensional, maybe even three-dimensional. Cause like you're able to put all these places in where they don't have to just interact with what you're sending them. It could be them coming to you. Maybe they make a phone call in, maybe they, you know, request a meeting, something like that. And then you can put them on a different track, regardless of where they actually are in that journey. You can kind of change their direction based on their actions, not just their reaction to you.
Ashley, do you know how robust it is from like a social media marketing, like advertising perspective? Are we thinking more like traditional? Because like, I think marketing to a business is very different than marketing to a consumer. And I feel like historically CE has been more adept at like the B2B side of things. Like, do you know like what its capabilities are from a social media perspective?
That's the one area I've not probably stayed the most. I know 2 years ago, all you could do is like connect your social media and like schedule stuff. But like the interaction of like taking, I would assume that part of the real-time marketing is that if people engage and respond, you can like then create cases. If it's a customer service issue, mm-hmm. or, if they're, you know, if they like your tweet, you can send them an email, you know, things like that. So I would like to assume that that is part of the real-time marketing, but I know that there are, real-time marketing is new. It just came out earlier this year, and they've even made a ton of advancements to it just in this last wave. So
I believe that your supposition is correct. I'm also supposing this because the real-time portion of customer insights grew out of the market insights, which was the replacement for social listening, which did that, basically listen to social media accounts and respond to it.
I have no idea, Merlin, how you keep it all straight of like, oh, this came from this section and this acquisition. And I'm like always amazed in these podcasts when you're like doing that backwards to like, oh, then 17 years ago, Microsoft purchased blah, blah, blah. And now we have this because of it. Like, how?
I wish that I could tell you. I can remember the pathway of all this software. I couldn't tell you what I had for lunch yesterday, but I can remember all of the various acquisitions and things that Microsoft went through. And then, yeah, I don't know.
I will say it doesn't trust me.
Yeah, this is why he forgets other things, is that he's keeping all this knowledge in his brain.
Right.
Yeah, and we're not. No, I appreciate that you brought up social listening, because that, like, I was like, oh, yes, like, I remember that product. And like, I can now like kind of it's just an evolved version of that, probably.
Right. And it's interesting because that was a product that like a number of organizations were very interested in, because that was, I think, one of the handful of products, certainly the only one in the Microsoft stack, that did a good job of like letting you monitor social media and then respond to it. And then it just sort of like disappeared for a while. And then it like resurfaced briefly and was like, oh, I'm hearing this beta product. And then it was like, oh, God, again. And so now it's
typical,
like,
Microsoft fashion. Like, none of that surprises me.
They do that with pretty much everything.
Everything.
True.
So, go ahead. No. You ask questions, because I was going to start talking about like what's new.
I wanted to ask about like the natural language thing, like query, just because I see that in marketing and we don't really have that many other places. And like, if how you guys feel about that, I think it's exciting. I feel like it's kind of in early stages.
I think we're like on the same wavelength, because I was going to be like, hey, in the new wave, did you hear that they're doing this? Like you're talking about in the segments, right?
Where where you don't have to like build an advanced find query. Like you can like type in in a normal way, like sentence or like statement of what you want to pull.
I will say it's not out yet. I think the public preview comes out either in December or January. So definitely that is something I'm really excited to try, though. Because I will say when I first got into Dynamics marketing 2 years ago, that the segments were probably the hardest part to teach an end user. For whatever reason, building like row by row, it was easier for them to understand an advanced find than it was for them to like... I don't know what it was about it, but it was like very difficult. So if they could just, if a marketing person who, let's face it, is not typically a technology data driven person, right? They're just like, hey, I want all my contacts in Chicago area that are in this industry. And like, I think it's kind of cool now that they'll just be able to literally type that natural language in, and then the query will build for them. And maybe they'll need to make some adjustments and stuff, but.
So that's not released yet?
I think it's December. Yeah.
Okay. So because I saw a demo of it, but it was from a Microsoft person. So maybe I saw something that was like I didn't realize it was seeing something that was like pre-release.
Yeah. So I think it's going in the public preview in December. I could be wrong, but I didn't see it. I didn't see it in my demo environment and marketing that I always have. I haven't seen it yet.
I mean, they are adding that same feature in some other spots. I was reading a recap of the Power Platform announcements at Ignite. And one of the things was you can like tell it what you want the formula to do in natural language, and then it will build the formula for you. So they're working on that in other areas of the platform too.
That's exciting.
Which is pretty cool.
And maybe that's why they haven't made any changes to Advanced Find in, 15 years.
Right. They're just going to leapfrog right past it.
Well, we have the column and the filtering now.
I know.
I was just
The other thing that I think is really cool is the AI content builder. Like you can just put in a couple of keywords. Like this would have been huge for me 10 years ago. And one of the reasons I got out of marketing, because I don't like to write content. Merlin does all of our content for us. It's just fantastic. But like, if you can just put up in like a couple of keywords, it'll like generate text based on like previous content you've built in the system, your keywords that you're putting together, it's going to read all of that and then like suggest something for you. So then you can just go in and edit it. Cause it's easier to edit, I think, than create. So
Microsoft is kind of copying Google on that. Cause like they have that for Google Ads, does that already.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
I mean, okay. My Google email does that.
Yeah,
I guess Office products have started doing it too.
Yeah,
but it's not like just finishing a sentence.
It's not
like
a suggestion.
In, I know.
It's not. Yeah, like you put in like six keywords, and it's gonna like
it iterates. It creates and iterates, and then like picks the one that's most effective.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I thought that was cool. Of all the things, like, well, I just love AI features. Like anywhere inside of, I think that's where like your money like pays off in the Microsoft tools. Is like all of the AI stuff that can come through and do things like automatically for you.
That's great. Yeah. That means that even a marketing noob like me could just be like, here's some keywords. Oh, good. Generated an article post.
That's scary that you call yourself a marketing noob since you literally write all of our content, Merlin.
Yeah, well. I need the AI though then to tell me like when to send it, when this person's going to be most likely to read it. All of that stuff, which
I was, That was too, isn't it? One of the coolest things I found 2 years ago is that you can, like, because everyone's like, oh, when do I send this like mass email out, you know, like introducing a new product or an event? Because you're like, when are people going to read it? And they're like, okay, don't do Monday morning.
They're never going to read it.
Yeah. So it's like, but like picking that time that everybody is most likely to read is really hard. So again, using AI, knowing that, like, using Exchange and things like that, Microsoft can read when people are opening their emails, super creepy. But then they'll give you a time of like when they're most likely to read emails, and they show you this whole grid of like Sunday to Saturday, and they like mark in red when they don't read emails at all. And then it'll like slowly change to like pink, and then like light green, and then like a darker green. And you can see like when they're going to be checking their emails. And then you can even schedule your email to send based on when that person is going to most likely read their emails next. So like you send the email, but you don't have 1,000 emails going out at once. You have them trickling out based on when those people are going to read their email.
So it's not even like send the whole batch Thursday at 2, because that's when most people are likely. It's like, oh, Liz reads her email on Wednesday morning and Ashley reads her email on Thursday afternoon. And so,
or even like at night, like I know a lot of people don't check emails until the evening hours, especially if it's a personal email that you're emailing. Yeah.
It's a very personalized approach.
Very personalized.
And I think that is the future of marketing, right? Like the mass stuff is overdone. We ignore bulk, whatever that we're getting in any format. And so it has to be personalized to get someone's attention. Otherwise they're going to completely ignore it because we're just bombarded by advertisements all day long.
And I think the obvious reason of why you would use like Dynamics marketing over a different marketing app is that you have then all that integration of what that customer has already done. So if they are a customer, what they've purchased, what their preferences are on types of content, you know, their history of like looking, like you can say, oh, because you've opened this email, we're going to like tailor the content for you different than this person, but it's the same email campaign. You know what I mean? So, or if they have cases open, you can like trigger an email to say, hey, like, how are we doing? You know, so like the fact that you have all of that data just right there in Dynamics and you can customize the content for that. I think that's, I mean, that's the reason, right? Why you would use a tool that fully integrates or is part of the stack.
So that kind of leads me to another question I had. We haven't talked about like what role do the other marketing ISV add-ons play now that Dynamics Marketing is up to speed and like a fully functional product. Do you think like Click Dimensions or any of the others still have like a role? Are they still a viable option depending on the requirements?
Yes, because I think that marketing is targeting an enterprise type company. So same as Adobe. Like I think Adobe is also meant for an enterprise. If you have fewer than, and I don't even know what the number is, but if you're doing, like if you're not going to use the event management, if you're not going to use the real-time marketing, if you're literally just going to build a campaign and send emails, there's no purpose or reason of why you would pay for
Dynamics. Which, and that might not depend on the size of your organization. Like that just might depend on like the robustness of your marketing team and like what you're willing to like invest into it or need to invest into it.
Cause like, to your point, there are other great tools like Click Dimensions. And I know that there's some like out that live outside of Dynamics that integrate that will do just as great of a job on the email campaign marketing, if that is your sole purpose, or even like tracking Google AdWords. I mean, I know that there's a lot of marketing automation tools that do that. So I think it has to do with, are you going to use the additional extra stuff that marketing has to make it worth the cost? And you might be a small company that does events, and so it makes sense for you. But it is intended, I would say, for those enterprise customers. So I think that's where like, so Click Dimension has a niche now, where before they would probably sell to anybody, but I think now it's probably mostly small to business, small to medium business.
Yeah, that was going to be my answer too, is Click Dimensions, for example, is significantly cheaper than Dynamics 365 marketing. Like the marketing module is not inexpensive. It's all priced on the number of contacts that you have. And whereas something like Click Dimensions or a lot of the others are focused more on like how many emails do you send or like how many web forms do you get back?
Even then though, how you pay per contact, like is if you engage with them once, that you pay for that contact for the next 12 months with marketing. So you have to make it worth it. Like if you're going to market to them, if you're going to send them one email, you better make.
But that's new. Like the fact that they fall off is new. Cause we found that out at DynamicsCon Live.
Yeah. So they do fall off after 12 months, but like,
yeah. So that's an improvement at least. Yeah.
Yeah. But you've got to like, so then with Click Dimensions, like you could have a contact sitting in there for 10 years and you've never sent them an email. So you're not paying for them. Whereas for Dynamics Marketing. Yeah. So, and the, just the licensing for Dynamics Marketing is probably super complex and hard to understand. So like every other Microsoft Dynamics tool. So if you're looking for something really simply priced, Click Dimensions is probably the way to go.
Do we still get like a default number of contacts with the kind of standard CE license, or is that all changed now?
I think you pay like per grouping of contacts. So like depending, I think it's a range.
Because you used to, and I've not stayed up on licensing, like in all fairness, I haven't looked at this for like at least a year and a half, but like it used to be like you got 5,000 contacts by default or something, and then you paid for additional.
I think that's how it is. Okay. It's still like you get a certain amount up front, and then for a range adding on, you have to pay.
Okay.
And obviously the more you have, then like the price per contact goes down.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of like storage.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. The other thing, so I'm glad you said storage, that totally kicked off another thing. Actually, we talked about at Dynamics.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Liz. You're like, we're just like this today.
We're driving.
Yeah. So what was really cool. So people, I think, are concerned about like the storage limits, obviously Dynamics. If you guys have been on Dynamics for a long time, you know that there's like storage limits and you hit these fun POA tables and stuff like that. So obviously in the marketing app, you're going to be tracking engagements, like, oh, they've clicked open this email, you're going to be lead scoring. I mean, all of this creates records of some type, right, that you need to be able to track. It's not just like static data. And so one of the things that Microsoft has done to kind of offset that data is they put all of those interactions into an Azure cloud, probably a data lake somewhere. And then it's just virtually seen in. So like you can't, it doesn't actually store in your system. Which is kind of nice because there's upsides and downsides to that. The downside is that you can only deal, well, at least as of 2 years ago, you only were able to use their custom reporting on those things, unless you, like, you couldn't do a dashboard with those engagements because they don't actually live in the environment. But you could obviously with like Power BI or something like that. So I'd say there's ups and downs just depending on how you wanted to use that data. So it's cool that it doesn't hit your storage, but the downside is you can't use then some of the out of the box, like reporting capabilities. You have to use Power BI.
Well, and to compare, like Click Dimensions does use your CE storage. And like, I know that's, has been a huge issue for a lot of customers using it.
And then at what point do you like delete it or like come up with some sort of like, you know, plan to plan delete, or do you then move it off store like to somewhere else, which is basically what marketing is doing anyways. So.
Right. Yep. That's been one of the complaints with Click Dimensions over the years is, you know, every web interaction creates another activity or something that's sitting in your database. And if you don't get rid of those after some point, then yeah, you're going to lose all your storage and you're going to be paying $40 a gig for extra storage.
Right.
That's not cheap. Yeah. Pros and cons. Any other items that you want to make note of, Ashley, before we wrap it up?
I know, I'm trying to think, like, all the things that make me excited, I think I've brought up. Liz, do you have like any questions or thoughts?
No, I've asked everything I wanted to ask. I think it was a good discussion.
I will say, so 2 years ago when I was implementing it, I was like, oh my gosh, why is this person, like, why is this company even, I hope they're not listening to this. I was like, why, for what they were using it for, it just didn't make sense. And there were just a lot of issues with it. I will say it has come a long way in the last 2.5 years. The other really cool thing is because the marketing app is kind of newer, it's a lot easier to get in touch with like the people that are actually building it. And they take feedback and they do releases sometimes more often than just the two waves. Because if they have like three enterprise customers asking for the same thing, they're just going to do it And not wait for a wave.
So they're more nimble. That's interesting.
Way more nimble. Yeah. So I don't know if they do that as much anymore, but like 2.5 years ago, they were like, oh, hey, by the way, this has just changed now over the weekend, and like, surprise. Because people were asking for it, which was cool though. Cause I mean, I didn't ever disagree with any of those changes. I was like, oh, that was a good advancement, but, they definitely try to be more nimble, because it is newer and you can be, so.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Why do you think clients have been slow to adopt it? Like, none of us have worked on a project recently where that has been part of it. Like, do you think that is an outlier that we're not deploying it for customers or internally in your case, Ashley? Or do you think clients are adopting it as fast as they should?
That's a really hard question to answer. I don't know if people are adopting it as much as Microsoft would like to think that they are, but I think that they should. I think it is a viable option now. I know internally I've been trying to get our company to look at it for like 18 months because I think it would solve a lot of our issues. So
I think for me, it's an easier answer. I'm focused more down market. And as Ashley pointed out, it's more like a small to large corporate sort of product. And I'm more in the SMB space, and it's really expensive in the SMB space.
That's fair. Yeah. And like, it was discussed, like it was originally in scope for the project that I'm on right now, but due to budget, it got deprioritized. It's phase two, and like just core sales is phase one. So.
Yeah. Yep. Any other parting thoughts? Otherwise we can wrap this one up. No? All right. Well, thank you, Ashley, for your wisdom on Dynamics Marketing. And thanks, everyone, for listening.
Thank you for listening to the Dynamics Hot Dish Podcast. For additional content and previous episodes, check out our website at dynamicshotdish.com, follow us on Twitter at Dynamics Hot Dish, and subscribe to our podcast for notifications. Thanks. See you next time.